Hello, and welcome back to the Ear Trainer. It's ear training time.
Yay!
This week, ear training continues as we take a look at the ongoing challenges of melodic dictations. Also, this week I'm finally introducing inversions as well. All the oldies, but all the goodies are still here too. So fear not. That being said, let's get on with the program. So we're on to lesson number 26 now. You've got your big kid ear training pants, and you can do lots of ear training things you couldn't do before. Take a moment to look back at all you've learned since we started. Not so bad, eh? If you're not proud of yourself by now, I don't know what it's going to take. But if you've stuck with me for this long, then I'm proud of you, and there's nothing that you can do to stop me. So now that you've gotten this far, you've earned yourself an ear trainer, Special Deputy Tin Star. And it comes with a few responsibilities. The first thing that we're going to change around here is how you take a key for a melodic dictation. I'm not going to be playing the tonic triad of a key anymore. Instead, you'll be given a note, and I mean any note. Say the passage you have to transcribe is in the key of A minor. I'll play you an E flat, and then you have to make your own way to singing a minor triad based on A. Luckily, you know what the interval between an E-flat and an A is, so that shouldn't be a problem. Now, I'm not saying I'm not going to be helping you anymore, but it's time you started to learn how to head out on your own. So I'll set a good example for you. This next melody is going to be in the key of A minor. The note I'm going to give you is E-flat. Well, the first note of the melody is C. Listen here, and I'll set you up.
La do mi la mi do la.
2, 3, 4. Okay, let's talk about inversions now. When you invert something, you're really putting it upside down, or in the reverse or opposite order. The application of an inversion is very straightforward in musical terms. Whenever you invert music, you pick a note or notes that will stay where they are, and then you move the other notes up or down an octave, depending on their location relative to the fixed pitch. I believe an example is in order. Take the interval of a major third, with the principal pitch being middle C. Your two notes, then, are C and E. Let's invert this interval. In doing so, you'll either move the E downwards an octave, below the C, or move the C up an octave, past the E. Though their pitch level will be different, you will end up with the same interval. The C moved up an octave forms a minor sixth with the E, and the E moved down an octave forms a minor sixth with the C. In this way, it's important to specify which direction you're inverting a passage. Take a listen and hear what I mean. Here I have inverted our original interval upwards. And here I have inverted it downwards. Pretty straightforward, right? Well, here's the trick that makes it even easier. If you invert your intervals right, when combined, the two sets of intervals should cover the distance of an octave. It's true! If you invert a minor second, the resulting interval is a major second. If you invert a major second, the resulting interval is a minor seventh. If you invert a minor third, the resulting interval is a major sixth, and so on and so forth. It's that easy to check your work. Now that we've learned a bit about inversions, let's put them to use. Here's the deal. I'll play an interval, and you have to identify the interval like you usually do. After that, I want you to sing the upwards inversion, that's to say, the upwards inversion, and then shortly after, I'll play the newly inverted interval for you so that you can check your tuning. So I'll play the interval, you identify the interval, and then sing the upward inversion of it. And then I'll play it at the keyboard, and you can check your tuning. I'll leave lots of space so that you've got time to figure it out. So don't worry. I'll do one first so that you know what I mean.
Ti do do ti.
Make sense? Okay, now try it yourself with E16. It's understood that when singing, there will be some range problems, as everyone's voice is a little bit different. Feel free to transpose these intervals by ear to any register that is comfortable for you to sing in. For the boys, falsetto is also acceptable. Let's cut down the talking for the rest of this episode. We'll do two rhythmic repetitions now, and I'll do my best to play in tune. The first one will be in 5-4 and will be 4 measures long. 4-5. Dictation will be in 4-4 time and will be 6 measures long. 2-3-4. And to end the show this week, let's do chords. I will play major 7 sharp 5 chords, augmented 7th chords, dominant 7th chords, and major 7th chords. Yay! There will be 12 of these in total. Enjoy! That's all I have for you this week. It's been fun for me, so I hope it's been fun for you too. Next week, we will continue with inversions and expand on the concept to triads. It's going to be great. Make sure you check out the website for all those hints and tips and lesson guides you love so dear. In case you haven't figured it out by now, that address is eartrainer.blogspot.com. So until next time, I'm Liam Gallagher, and I have been the Ear Trainer. Yay!